If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Look at that sheet-eating grin of Russ Cardinal. May old acquaintance be forgot. Because you're my friend, Russ. And well, never come to mind.
The smile is that I'm looking at a face without a fucking stop sign above his lip.
Yes, this is the post-cold
sore.
It's gone, baby. Yeah, it's
you're
gone.
Back. You can be back on the road to
recovery.
Hopefully meeting somebody.
Yeah, exactly. Happy New Year, everybody. Merry Christmas. Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables with me, Jungle Jim Jerome, and Russ Cardinal. Oh, there's a beautiful, you know, how I haven't relapsed, Russ, with doing a show with you is incredible. Look, I could give seminars, Russ, on how to manage, okay? how to manage through alcoholism. Excuse me. Well, I'll tell you what, we're recording late. I've got to give kudos to the women in the world, your wife, Paris, and my daughter. You there, Sid? You want to say
hello?
Hi?
I'm here.
Good enough.
Hey, Sid.
That's it. I don't. Yeah.
Looking good, Sid.
Daughter Sid, who's now the producer, as you know.
Oh, thanks. Very relaxed over here. Casual.
Rocky.
Yeah. And Sydney.
I bet you're not single.
Not so recently.
Oh, that's great. Really, Russ? It's my daughter. What? What? Wow. I bet you're not single. anyway, Sid in Paris, we had some trouble yesterday trying to record. We usually do it on a Tuesday or Wednesday. We had a bunch of trouble yesterday. And my poor daughter, who just started doing this, started thinking it was her fault. Sid took a deep dive. Took a deep dive, technically,
yes.
And we're back up and running.
The techies.
To the women in our lives, okay? To all of you. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah. Sid, and how was your Christmas,
we went to
Russ,
Minneapolis.
First of all, right? We took the week off.
We just missed one day of travel. We got our flight got canceled, but we got out the next day. And of course, Minneapolis is prepared for snow, so they had no problem accepting flights. So we were in and out.
Sure.
And went to a great football game on Christmas Eve. And of course, we took our puppy to Minneapolis. So at halftime, my wife was like, I think I'm going to go back to the house that we rented and check on.
Oh,
or actually, we went back to Eric and Allie's.
The pup?
To check on the dog. So I couldn't let her go alone.
Right.
So I went and watched the rest of the game at home. At Eric and Allie, so I wasn't there for it, but what a game. They won it with a field goal with no time left. So, yeah, it was exciting. Anyways, we had a great family time. My son flew out. We were all together for a few
days. What'd you
get
for Christmas? Oh, sorry.
It was good. How was yours?
Are you, thanks, Rusty. Are you like me now, Russ, now that we're older, trying to explain to your kids when they show up at the house for Christmas Eve, my kids were beautiful. They're petrified, Russ, that I'm by myself, you know, on Christmas. So they all came flying into my house Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And they say, what's with the perma smile, Dad? I said, well, you'll realize when you're my age that just having you guys around
is
sort of this gratitude thing, right? You know what I mean? Right? It's like, you know, 20 years ago, I'm like, what did you get me for Christmas? What'd you buy, Dad? What'd you get, Dad? Come on. You know, so
nice.
We had a great time.
Well, you guys are lucky because you're close together, you know, close in proximity. We're not. Lawton's in Charleston.
Yep.
Brooklyn's here in L.A.
Right.
Allie and Eric are Minneapolis, L.A., so we're spread out. So for us to get together, it's even not more special, but it's unique because it's not easy to do. So
totally.
Lawton and his girlfriend came in for 2 days. And
what do you guys
get? We had a great time and cooked some awesome food and just sat around and hung out with one another. It was great.
shot the shit. Yeah. What do you and Paris are well established in the Westlake community. You know, you've achieved probably everything you want to achieve. Your daughter is married to an NFL player, and they're wonderful people. What happens at Christmas? What the fuck are you guys going to get each other for Christmas?
Oh, my God.
How do you buy something? I mean, I saw Eric the other day, I don't know, picking out cars and shit like that or whatever.
I'm not quite happy with what I have. Not a big gift person, giver or receiver. Right. My daughters help me out with, we do stockings.
Right.
So my wife is awesome. She does all the stockings for everybody, and everyone loves the stocking. So mostly anything you can fit in a stocking is what we do. And then the girls help me out with Paris. And then
there you go.
You know, Dad, can I have your credit card? And they load her up and they know what she wants. And I've always said this to Paris. I go, what the fuck do we need? I mean, awesome. we have all we need and want.
Right.
And if we want something, we go out and get it. Then we don't wait for, so we're fortunate in that regard. But I don't want for a lot. I've got, you know, all the things that I have. You know, I'm not really searching for anything more than what I've got. So if
I'll tell you a great gift that I heard directly, personally, my ex-wife. So we all live in
Edmonton. Nice. Good for her.
She got remarried last summer, lives around the corner. She's happy. Great guy, Doug. And so Sydney lives 10 minutes from me, and the boys live 10 minutes. And my young guy lives with my ex, Allison, and her husband. She came up with the brilliant idea, and I bet you're going to steal it. So I've got three kids. And she said, I don't want any gifts, but each of you is going to come up with an experience that you want to spend with me. So
that's cool.
Whether it's a trip or dinner or whatever, right? Isn't that the way it works, Sid? You have to do something with...
Yeah, you have to make him dinner or go on a trip or... Like, depending on your financial status,
mom's not paying for that.
Guess,
you guys are?
You make some craft dinner.
Mom will pay, Sid. Mom will pay.
I said I would take them on a ski trip, and she said
oh, my
she
God.
Pay,
so next year you tell her you want to take her to Hawaii. Hey, Mom, I think us Hawaii, and then after a week in Hawaii, we go over to Australia because we're halfway there. Spend a week in Australia. Uncle Russ will set us up with some friends over there.
Yeah. Go to London,
That is no, I like it.
Anyway, I thought that's a cool idea. You might have to tweak it. Yeah, I'm going to use that too as well. Lots to talk about, Rusty, and our New Year's show. Everyone likes to do New Year's in review. It's always a cool time if you're a hockey fan because the World Juniors is on.
Jeez.
Yeah, and Connor Bedard, Russ. Is there any other story coming up? We're recording here. January 5th, Sid's got her hands full with trying to get the show up tonight, but they win last night. They beat the States. They're down 2-0. They score six in a row unanswered and win the game. Bedard gets them in there the night before with the unbelievable slashing between every player. I don't mean slashing penalty-wise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back checker. Anyway, he scores that big overtime, Russ, and some people in my mind were slightly overreacting because it's 3-on-3, but they're going, that's the best goal ever in hockey. That's the best goal ever in hockey.
It was a great goal and a great game. I did not watch many or really not much at all of the World Juniors prior to the last two games. So I've been... Now I'm watching and I can barely sit down. It's such great hockey and it's end to end. It's like at the halfway mark, USA had 30 shots last night at the halfway mark. I looked up, I'm like 29 shots and they hadn't hit the 10 minute mark of the second period. It's so exciting.
I was traveling all day, so I didn't.
The hockey is so good. I'm so proud of the, the way Canada battled back last night, because it sure wasn't looking good the first 10 right. minutes.
Right.
And Bedard, is it Bedard?
Yeah.
I'm a, Bedard?
Bedard, Connor Bedard. Yeah.
Bedard. Yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure I was saying it right. Mm-hmm. He opened the scoring, made it 2-1 and he played great, but there was other players that I thought played better than him, but he's living up to every expectation. It'll be interesting to see how he does in the NHL, but he sure looks great. He's under a lot of pressure
right.
and he's performing and it looks awesome, but there's some other really exciting players out there for the NHL future stars. So it's great to watch. I'm looking forward to the game tonight.
Yeah, part of me, and of course, some of it's probably legit. You know, the karma of the two Connors with Connor McDavid. You know, nobody argues that he's not the best player. Connor going on, this other kid lived up to every expectation when they started saying he's special.
Yeah.
And then they started flashing up the most points in the World Junior ever. And I'm going, yeah. Well, yeah, but the kid's 10 points back, man, when they did it. And then he crushed it. Yeah. Part of me, Russ, is, you know, if I'm a potential NHL team that he's going to go to, you know, the draft pick, I'm like, would you lay off the kid, man? Or if I'm his parents, Russ, I'm going, oh, my God, this is too much to bear. You know, the kid's only 17. And the media coverage, Russ, is through the roof. The social mm-hmm. media stuff is through the roof. And part of me is going, if I put myself in his parents' shoes, my heart's in my stomach going, please leave him alone. Please just let him play. But
his
you brought
dad's
it up.
A fireman. He'll handle it.
Right, right. But you brought it up about the pressure, right? Russ was probably separates the men from the boys, I guess, when it comes to performance.
Yeah, yeah. People fold under pressure, and some people rise. And you really find out the character of the athlete when these tough times are ahead, and they're in it. And mm-hmm. for the Canadians, I mean, they're at basically on home, so they're on home soil, and so right. every game, even though last night they were the visiting team, so they had last change.
Right.
It was a home game, and man, the fans, I felt it. Like when it was 2-0, I'm like, oh my God, 2-1. I'm like, oh.
Yeah,
and then they just came roaring back, and they just got stronger and stronger and stronger. And you could see the will
right.
of the U.S. team. And not to take anything away from the USA team, because I was super impressed with their game.
Right.
Like really impressed how fast they were and how well they moved the puck, and they had, I believe, two goals called back, one for right. sure, and then all of a sudden it was just like you could just see that Canada was just gonna
right.
not let up and keep going for it. So
you've come up through the ranks, Russ. Yeah, you've come up through the ranks. You've played everywhere. You've played internationally, and you know, obviously your great career in the NHL and your junior career where you played with your brother, the Cougars, right, Victoria?
Mm-hmm. Is that, yeah.
You've always said, Russ, because you've also coached. You coach young kids, and you said, I've always said one of the biggest problems is they all come in, they want to play on the first line, and all the parents think they're ready for the NHL. You've said it's a completely different game. You've brought us, you know, we've asked you before, what's the big difference when you come in? And I think your answer was, I'll go with everything is different than junior hockey. When you do see this guy, Russ, and everyone's raving about him, he will be the first round draft pick.
Yeah, first pick overall.
Do you still look at it, Russ, going, you just don't know, right? Let's see what
well,
happens.
Well, he's definitely going to be good.
It's
whether he's going to be great, because right now he is great. And you don't know his size, even though the NHL, it doesn't really matter. He's not a big kid, but
right.
fuck, what I'm watching, man, he's got a great shot. He's got great vision. He makes some unreal heady plays. Like he made this play in the corner where instead of going up the boards, he brought it back to the middle in the offensive zone and put it behind the defender, to his defenseman. most players in that position would have tried to bank it off the wall where the right. defender had his stick. And he just made this little head fake and then to the inside. And I was super impressed with that because that was at top speed too. I think, you know, he's going to be really good. How great, if he's going to be great, we'll find out. But he sure has all the tools, and the pressure's there for him. The only right. negative thing, my son told me that he said that somebody asked him, would he go to Phoenix if he got drafted there? And he said no. And that's Ooh. The only negative thing I've heard about him so far is just that.
Someone
that
will get at him.
Nope. Incorrect, uneducated. He should not have answered that question. And that's where Lindros got into trouble when he was young. And I witnessed all that during Canada Cup. And he was left out on a branch by himself with no agent and parents around in a full media conference during Canada Cup in 91 in Quebec City.
Right.
And Walter Gretzky sat outside listening, and he just was shaking his head. And I asked Walter after practice, what are you doing? And he goes, and he pointed in the room, and there was Eric answering these questions. And he was just screwing up after one question after another. He's 18 years old. He doesn't know what he didn't know right. enough of what he shouldn't have answered the questions. And this one, Connor should have just said, I have no comment, or, you know right. what, I'll be happy to get drafted. I don't know. But don't start saying you're not gonna go to a team if you get drafted in the NHL. Right. You should just ignore that.
Especially when you haven't been drafted yet.
Right? Well, but you shouldn't start right. that's basically telling that team they're no good. They're not good enough right. for him. And that's right. not right.
Someone will get at him, Russ, say, hey, I can help you with this little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, but you shouldn't have answered. That'll go viral. Like it
right.
shouldn't have been right. out there.
You should have media training, Russ, when you were
what's that? Elite?
Did you get media training when you were
no? Fuck.
No, but you didn't need
no,
it. You were
no,
good.
No, you just learned from your mistakes.
Okay, Rusty, this is a two-parter. You let me know if this goes down on the list of the dumbest questions I've asked, but I'm going to ask that World Junior team, Russ. How do they do against the worst NHL team?
I don't know.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's a question they can't answer because they're playing against kids their own age. So, you know,
are they gonna girls' get
soccer teams
team?
Play against 12-year-old boys and they get beat and they're great. Right. You know, like, I don't know. I can't answer okay. that question.
I was going to say a minor league team then maybe. Would they hold their own?
Well, put it this way. There's kids on that team that are stars right now, like stars. You're watching yeah. them play and they're absolute superstars on the ice. And they can't crack the lineup that they've been lent out to play in this right. tournament because they're not able to play on the team that they're drafted to.
Right.
Speaking and of they're superstars. Before... They're freaking awesome. They look like Paul Coffey, Bobby Orr, and all that, but they're playing against kids.
Right. You
know, young men.
So, speaking of that, Russ, I go
got
back.
Got any more stupid questions?
Yeah. Well, no, it wasn't bad. You weren't sure. I thought you were going to go like this. Don't be an idiot, Jerome. An NHL team would crush
not sure.
any World Junior team. Maybe this goes down as the dumbest question. I wanted to bring up something else, okay? And Russ said, no. not a great week. Not a great
I'm
week.
I'm like a politician.
You really are.
You can ask me. You can ask me questions that I give you to ask me.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to have to do that in the future. Tonight, Team Canada plays for the gold against Czechia. The Czechs. Let's go with the Czechs. Okay, can we do that? So anyway, that'll tune up. Rusty, everyone around the world has become aware of Damar Hamlin playing for the Buffalo Bills. Looked like a an innocent hit to the he was just tackling a guy. The guy hit him in the chest. Down he went. If you've been living in a cave and haven't seen this, down he went and rolled over and got up and took a couple of steps and then fully collapsed. He's in critical condition. He had a heart attack is what they say happened.
Yeah.
I saw a doctor speak about it And he explained it very well, saying, if you get hit like that in the heart or in the chest, and it happens to be at the exact time of a heart flutter or something,
makes
Russ.
Makes me cringe.
anyway, it was an awful, awful, awful scene. So awful that they stopped the game. There's so much there that when they pan that camera around to all the players who are praying and on their knees, and many of them crying, and they had to resuscitate the guy on the field.
Ugh.
And then off he went an ambulance. And it's just, Russ, it's got to be the worst side of pro sports.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Yeah. I didn't see it, and so I was thinking it was some crazy hit, which we've all seen these, you know, guys go off in stretchers and they put their arms up if they're okay. And then when I finally saw it, I was like, oh my God, he barely got hit.
Right.
And I just, you know, I read that article where, you know, you can get hit at the right, just at the perfect time and, you know, can stop your heart and all that. But I, you know, having Eric in the league and my daughter, who every time he gets hit, you know, she's just inside, just making sure he gets up, making sure he's okay. He's okay.
Right.
Every time we watch a game, Paris will say, oh, Eric, he grabbed his, you know, he's limping. And so every parent is probably doing the exact same thing, and every friend and every loved one. And then you have two teams that did what they did, and the fans. It was freaking amazing. And I think one thing that sports does is I think Wayne said it on the show, we didn't have sports during the pandemic. And he said that, you know, it was a void in a lot of people because they look forward to watching the game, and sports really brings people together. Look what it does for Canada with the World Juniors, and all of Canada's watching, or most of Canada, I'd say, is watching their Olympic team or their junior team, and they're cheering them on and want them to win. And it's very uniting. And I felt like that incident really was united everyone. Like, it's more than just the game and more than, you know, we're better than you and home field advantage and all these things that were important going into that game. And then everyone just started holding hands and praying, and it was incredible. And then the outpouring love for this guy. And now I've seen some interviews and never knew who he was before this. And his charity is up to $7 million now in gifts and donations from people for toys. I guess his charity is for toys for kids or something.
Right. And it was only of several thousand bucks before this.
Yeah, it's just amazing, though, what sports does for people. You know, we went through this with soccer, with the World Cup. Just all these fans around the world cheering on teams from different countries, even. And then the countrymen and women cheering on their country that's playing. You know, just it's fantastic.
Right. So galvanizing, right?
A great way to settle our differences, wouldn't it? Through sport instead of wars.
Right. But totally. Yeah, totally. Russ, you played, you talked about, I'm surprised you didn't bring it up yourself. I mean, you talk, and Ali's written about this, as a matter of fact. If you follow her on Instagram, she's done some posts on her story. And it's good. It's good. It does take you inside of the life of the immediate family of a pro athlete. I remember a buddy of mine coming over to my house. His kid was playing, I don't know, peewee or midget or something like that. And his reaction to what happened to his kid got slammed into the boards and unconscious. And he came into my house crying, you know, going, fuck, I think I'm going to take him out of hockey. You know, it was perhaps an overreaction, but you, Russ, have, you know, your son who plays hockey. You know, as a parent, I mean, I watched my daughter run track and I was afraid she was going to get hurt, not because she wasn't capable, but just this catastrophizing it. You know, you probably saw your son get hurt. I mean, I can't imagine what that moment must feel like as a parent.
Every time he played last night, I mean, we worry about him all the time when he was out there, but probably the funniest one was my oldest daughter was playing, and we were playing against a tough team, a lot of Hispanic girls on the team, and my daughter went up and collided with this girl in front of the net, and she went down and stayed down.
Yikes.
And my dad said, never stay down. If you're hurt, come to the bench, you know, get up, don't show them you're hurt,
right?
You know, be tough. And I'm like, what the hell is she doing laying on the ground? What the hell is she doing? I'm talking to Paris, like, what the, I'm pissed that she's on the ground. And then she gets up and she starts arguing with her. The ref steps in and they're going at it. And I see her pointing to the parking lot. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Right.
The game ends. She comes out, you know, meets with her team, and we're at the car. She walks over to the car. I'm ready to lay into her, and she's got a freaking black eye. The girl elbowed her in the face. And I just went, oh, I'm such an idiot.
Right.
I'm such an idiot. And I go, what happened? That freaking girl elbowed me in the eye. And then when I got up, I said, let's go out in the parking lot.
There's a car.
I was the dad who was going to yell at her for laying on the ground. Yeah. But she got up, but she laid down for a while. But the injury thing, I mean, anytime your kids are playing or someone you care and love about, you obviously are concerned. And Brooklyn playing soccer, it's physical. And when she gets tackled, I cringe, right. And when she gets up, I'm like, oh, okay, good, okay. And that's, I imagine every parent and love, anyone who has a friend or a loved one or someone they really care about, when they get hit or fall awkwardly, you have that pit in your stomach, like, are they okay?
And we come to realize that Brooklyn is way more fearless and way tougher than her fucking father, okay? So that's, I guess before we...
That's why it was so fast. Yeah. It's amazing how fast you can skate when you're scared.
When you give a guy a black eye, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, let's move out of here. Russ, before we leave this, then, that's the perspective of family, the perspective from parents to have to watch their kids, and I get that. I get that.
Yeah.
What about the perspective, Russ, you as a player? You did reach the pinnacle as a high performer and played in the best league in the world. And you see this incident that happened with this poor player, the Buffalo Bills player, Hamlin. Was there ever a time, Russ, that you said, I kind of fear getting really hurt, and should I look at that and maybe adjust my goal as a player? Or did you ever see from any other players going, you know what, boys, this, you know, maybe a guy sort of got nicked close to the eye or something. I've heard, you know, the guys go, this ain't worth it. This ain't worth it.
Well, I think that there's players I played with that were scared.
Right.
And it may or may not have affected their career and length of career. But I think older players just get, they slow down in the game. It's not that they're afraid.
Right.
I think you get more confidence the older you get. And there's less to fear.
Right.
When you're young, it's a lot of unknowns and you're trying to figure out your way and all that. And so that every year there's less to be fearful of. And so I think guys, as they get older, just start thinking about, oh, I can't do what I used to do.
Right.
I'm not playing as much as I'm not as useful. This sucks because I want to be the guy. I'm not the guy anymore.
Right.
And that one's a hard one to swallow because everybody who makes it to the NHL or whatever they're chasing, they were really good. And at the end of your career, you're not as good. things, you just slow down. The only time I really thought about it was when I was starting to get offers to go to Europe, and I went, made it through my career. I had this injury and that injury. Don't really want to go. It would really suck if I went and played and something bad happened. That was the only time that I really thought about it.
Right.
Put any kind of feelings toward injuries or anything. I just didn't know. My heart wasn't in it. And I just thought, that wouldn't that suck if I went and played and something bad happened, and I really didn't want to be there.
Right.
And I think there's a good example, and a horrible good example of that is the kid from St. Louis who went and played for the Russian team, Dmitry.
What's
his name? He died in that plane accident.
Oh, right, with the Philly guy.
Too, played right, in though. The NHL.
Right.
Had made so much freaking money. Played with my brother. He's a phenomenal player. Played in Vancouver, too.
Oh.
And then he went and played in the Russian league because probably felt like he wanted to keep playing, I guess. And it wasn't financial because the guy had made so much freaking money and he died in that crazy.
Yeah. Who was the coach, Russ? He played in the Philly.
I played against him. Really tough, great defenseman. Played in Philly and Calgary.
Brad McCrimmon?
Brad McCrimmon. And Brad was,
I think he was
the coach there. And,
yeah.
And there's lots of others, but that, how sad.
Yeah.
How sad for all of them. But he just, you know, he kept playing.
Right.
And that happened.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, good insight. Good insight, Rusty. A couple things before we go, Rusty. The Boston Bruins, Russ, have lost four games. unless they played last
Cam
night.
Cam Neely's coming for a sleepover on Friday.
Who is?
Cam, the president of the Boston Bruins.
Yeah, your buddy. They're 29 and 4 or something crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. What happens, Russ? You start to get to a time here where, you know, the asterisk that goes beside your team's name in the standings means you've made the playoffs. These guys are about a week away from Jeez. Getting the 45-game asterisk, you know, almost a kid. There's two things here, Russ, that I want to hear from you on. What do you do, Russ, if you are that good and you're going to coast into the playoffs? We've been talking about injury all morning, and you're coaching a team, Russ, going, Are you going to begin to rest your superstars a little more than you would, Russ, if you're fighting for a playoff game?
No, you're not going to rest anybody. You just got to keep it going. And they had a lot of injuries from last year where guys didn't start the season. So
right.
For some, they're just getting back and playing. And I think that they're probably. Maybe rest their goalie. I don't know their goalie situation.
Right.
But if they're going to rest anybody, they might rest the goalie a little bit, like not play him. You know, if they have three games in a row, they might not play him
right.
All three if they had been. But hockey, you just got to keep going. And the league is so good that I watched their outdoor game the other night against Pittsburgh, and they won 2-1. They came from behind to win. And they played really well in the third period, but I don't see them. Cam's not built that way.
Right.
I texted him 2 months ago.
He's the president.
And said, "Hey,
no,
man, keep it going." Yeah. And he was like, "Yeah, just trying to be humble and just keep hoping that we just keep playing and be consistent and keep working hard and all these positive things, right?"
Right.
But you're always looking over your shoulder. Athletes are insecure. Coaches are insecure. You're looking at the goal in front of you, but you know there's all these people behind you chasing you.
Right.
So you don't want to cruise. They're going to have All-Star break.
Right.
They're going to have quite a few guys get a rest there. So, and then you start again. And I don't know. I think they'll.
So you're not going to adjust too much,
so,
right? Okay.
But they've got it down now. They feed them correctly. They've got sleep doctors.
Right.
They've got travel guys. I mean, they're so prepared and just the health wise of these players today is so great compared to when we played.
Right.
Meaning they have everything at their fingertips.
Right. So conversely, Russ, okay, so Boston's going to whip their way into the playoffs, but you're going to have teams, Russ, who are now never going to make the playoffs. I've always thought it was a loophole.
What do you mean never? What do you mean never make the
this
playoffs?
This year. There'll be teams that have no shot.
They're not going to make that. Never is
never,
forever.
Never this year.
Not
never this year.
This year.
Why are you so tough on me today?
Well, because the way you just said it was like you're talking about how great the Boston Bruins are, and then, we've got other teams that are never going to make the playoffs. I don't get that.
This year. Okay, they're not going to make the playoffs.
You mean they're not going to make the playoffs.
So
they're all going after the Bedard,
right. And Russ, is there something wrong with that system? So no one wants to say it, a player, but I've interviewed guys, retired NHL guys, and off mic they went, absolutely, teams are going to tank. Absolutely.
Oh, they're Chicago and Anaheim right now. They're totally tanking. They're totally tanking, but they have the lottery system, so it's not guaranteed. They did fix it. So there is still an opportunity for other teams to get them that don't finish last. I think they've dealt with it because when Pittsburgh tanked to get Mario, they got the first pick. They got Mario.
Right.
You're not guaranteed. Even though you finished dead last, you're not guaranteed to get the first pick because of the lottery.
Right.
So,
Minor league baseball.
They can tank all they want.
Right.
They get a better chance of getting him or whoever they want or the first pick, whatever.
Right.
They did definitely have a better chance, but it's not guaranteed like it used to be.
I always thought, Russ, like in minor league baseball, they have a split season, right? Because so many teams don't, end up not being able to make a playoff halfway through the season. I always thought the NHL maybe could do that. Like, if you're one of these teams, Russ, that you said are tanking, how is it if you're a season's ticket holder? Let's go watch them give up another 8 goals tonight to make sure.
Well, your Oilers did it for, 10 years in a row, but you might not have done it
easy,
on purpose.
Easy 10 years in a row.
Didn't help them.
Anyway, there you heard it from. You see what I go through, Sid? Every day. Every freaking
Toronto did it, and they got Austin.
Yeah, they did. And boy, they've banged off a couple Stanley Cups since he got there.
But, when you do that, when you kind of wash your hands of a season to get a player, the good teams are not going to do it, right? They're going for the playoffs. It's the weaker teams that are tanking. They're not going to make the playoffs. So I think everybody knows the writing's on the wall. They're not going to make the playoffs. So, hey, might as well, I want my team to win. But if we can get this great player, then I'm all for
it. That's right, yeah.
And once you get those great players, then you've got to build a great team. So the fans that get the great player are so excited because they know the team is now going to be forced to put pieces around that player to make them a playoff or Stanley Cup contender. So I think it's almost a win-win. I feel bad for the teams who think they're going to make the playoffs and are going to lose out on the lottery because they're giving it everything they have to possibly make it.
Right.
And those are the teams that are, you're like, hey, you're not that good.
Right.
You're not going to win. Frickin' get in the lottery.
Right. Right. Well, Jersey started out gangbusters too, right? Who's the kid in Vancouver? Jack Hughes?
He signed a couple guys, but they, drafted well and they're starting to play really good. Who's the other team? That Buffalo. Look at Buffalo, man.
They made
a couple good trades and drafted well. So they're a young, exciting team.
Yep. Let me give you
short-term pain for long-term gain.
Right. Let me just give you an idea here of what we're looking at, Rusty, in terms of these players you're talking about. So for people to watch, Connor might be able to do something exciting here. He's now 15 points ahead of Draisaitl, who's in second place in points. You're talking about Thompson in Buffalo, okay?
Yeah.
He's only a few points back of Draisaitl. And the other kid is in Dallas, Robertson.
Yeah, Robert. Yeah.
Then you got Kucherov.
How about the kid in Buffalo, he was drafted by St. Louis, I think. Right. And they let him, you know, let him go or traded him, whatever. And man, that you give up on, you give up on a player that you spent all that time and energy and money drafting a kid, and then you trade him away, and now he's becoming a superstar. Right. I mean, it's only one season, but boy, does he look freaking good out there.
Right. Right. Yeah.
I'm happy for Buffalo because, you know, it's, they've had some struggles. They've got a great owner who wants to win, and they're in Buffalo.
Right.
And it's hard. It's hard to get players to go. And they, I think Tucci or kid from Vegas, he's from there.
Right.
So he's a hometown boy. Kane's from there. It'd be kind of fun if the Buffalo made a trade for Chicago's Kane and brought him home. If they're going to trade him,
right.
It'd be kind of fun to see him play with those young, exciting players.
Every time I hear about the owners from Buffalo, their daughter is on the WTA tennis circuit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Huh. Yeah, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
They own the Bills too, right?
Yeah.
They own the Bills and the Sabres. Yeah,
I forget their name.
Somebody said something to him. I thought, I've never met the man. He was in town for a dinner with some friends here, and I got invited, and I didn't go, him and his wife. And I really love to meet this guy. He got interviewed, and somebody said something about him buying the Buffalo Sabres, and, you know, they're not going to make any money. And he goes, hey, if I'm going to make any money, I'll just go drill some more oil wells.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, the sun, the other stuff.
I love it when somebody's passionate about something and they, you know, they're not worried about the financial.
Right. Well, there was a great quote from years ago where the guy turned over a pro team to his son to run it. And it was a moneymaker through and through and through. And then, I mean, uber rich family, right? And then the kid almost drives it into the ground in the first year, loses millions and millions. And they're interviewing the father going, hey, nice move there. Turning it over to your son. He lost freaking $72 million. And the father says, well, let's think about that. If he keeps that up, he'll be broke in 210 years. I mean, pretty cocky, you know, but I guess before we go, Rusty, speaking of leaders, Ovechkin whips by Gordie Howe. It's going to be the talk till he makes it.
Yeah,
everyone's going, well, how's he doing? Okay, well, he's third in goals. 28 got 28 goals.
I said on the show he was going to get 60 this year.
Yeah, well, he's right on pace. You know, he's right on pace. He's halfway. And
I don't know how many games have they played.
I'm going like 35, right? The All-Star break's coming up.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Let me see here. I can tell you how many they've played.
I'd love to be right.
Everyone's about 36, 37, 38 games. No one's hit 40 games. Yeah, Capitals have. There we go.
They got them out for every time there's an empty netter. So there's a few extra.
I don't care if you're Wayne. You're going, fuck off. Don't break my record. Speaking of breaking records, people just smashed theirs. Listening to you picking on me. Okay, it's awful. Anyway, way to go, Rusty. Happy New Year. Way to go looking after your family. And we'll be while Eric, of course, speaking of playoff runs, your son-in-law, they're going to make it. You know?
Yeah, they're just banged up right now. Their offensive line.
Minnesota Vikings.
Three guys out.
Yeah, we'll watch for that.
So.
Smoke another cigar, Rusty. Happy New Year. Happy New Year to everybody. Same to you, Sid.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Happy New Year, guys.
Yep. Thanks and for everything.
Thank you to you and Paris for getting this computer up and going, because this has been
Paris, thanks. Because
I almost threw it in the garbage.
You're gonna get a job. You guys, people are gonna hire you. That's it for us. Another episode of Suspendables is in the books. Happy New Year, everyone, again, and we'll talk to you next week. I can't wait. I can't wait. Russ, I want you to think a little bit and go, it's been about, I don't know, 2.5 years we've been doing the show. Time for me to say a nice thing to Jim. I'm getting hurt. Let's end the show on that. Oh, I love you, brother. We'll see you later, everybody. Thanks. Thanks for tuning in. See you, Russ.
Thanks for being with us. Please be sure to subscribe to The Suspendables today and share the show with your friends and followers. And find out everything you need to know about the show on our brand new website, thesuspendables.com.
Mmm, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.